Hi everyone, and welcome to today's webinar, From Discovery to Defense, SAP and Anapsys Joint Response to a Zero Day. My name is Cecile Giloy, and I will be managing today's session. Before we get started, I have some housekeeping notes. First, I want to point out the questions module within the ON24 platform. If you have any questions, please enter them at any point during the presentation, and if time allows, we will answer whatever questions we can at the end of the session. You can always adjust the size of the media player on your end to make it bigger or smaller, depending on your preference. And finally, please note that this webinar is being recorded and a link will be sent to you. Now, I'm going to pass it over to our presenters. With us today, we have Vic Chung, Global Head of Product Security Response at SAP, and JP Perez-Echegoyen, Chief Technology Officer and Co-Founder at Anapsys, who will give us a behind-the-scenes look at how security research and collaboration accelerate guidance, patching, and response to this zero day. And with that, there's a lot that is going to be covered today, so I'm handing it over to our presenters to kick us off.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Cecile. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I'm super excited to be presenting today with Vic. We go a long way. We've met for several years, and this is a testament of the great collaboration and partnership we have with SAP, have had for several years in regards to vulnerability submission, patches, and security collaboration, strengthening the security of our joint customers and the overall SAP community. So with that, we have a lot of content for today, but I'm gonna do my intro and then I'll pass it over to Vic for him to intro himself. So as Cecile mentioned, JP, CTO and co-founder of Anapsys, and I've been on the cybersecurity for SAP domain for probably over 20 years already, and doing a lot with the SAP customers from the vulnerability research perspective, securing SAP applications, also assessing SAP environments, and as well training and presenting at a number of different milestones and events. And I've been deeply involved in all the events that follow the release of CVE 2025-31324. So I'm really happy to be presenting here with Vic. Vic.
Hi, everyone. It's Vic over here. I am from SAP, and I also lead the product security response functions at SAP. Like JP have mentioned, JP and I have known each other for more than a decade. It also shows how long the relationship between SAP and Anapsys have been, especially around responsible disclosure and vulnerability submissions and patching. In this particular case, in this webinar, I'm happy to be here to walk through what has happened and how has Anapsys has contributed to our internal workings. So look forward to have you in this webinar. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Vic. Thank you. Awesome. So let's start with the key takeaways. These are some of the highlights of what we're going to be presenting today. First and foremost is SAP's rapid response to these events that follow the CVE 2025-31324, right? So we're going to be talking about a sequence of events, different issues, but all highlighting how really good response and good collaboration and rapid response can help strengthening the security of SAP customers overall. We'll talk about the collaboration that we had. We'll provide some insights into the timeline, what happened, which were the most relevant events that follow the incident that we saw last year, what active exploitation revealed about threat actors targeting SAP applications in today's threat landscape, and we'll talk about recommended steps SAP customers can take to reduce future risk, and we'll talk about how important is patching and really consuming those security patches that SAP is providing monthly and periodically to SAP customers. In terms of agenda, A little bit of what I already mentioned, but I will go through introductions. I'll talk about the UNAMSIS Research Labs. Vic is going to talk about the Product Security Response Team. And then we'll deep dive into the CVE 2025-31324, threat actors that we have observed targeting this vulnerability. And then the so what, right? Okay, what our organizations should do. Not so much on this specific CVE. We're going to talk about the related vulnerabilities and all of that. But since this is from last year, our expectation is that most organizations have already reacted in some way, shape, or form. But it's more important, like, what do we do moving forward, right? How do we stay prepared for any type of vulnerability that is coming through a pipeline, and how organizations should be consuming and reacting to them? So I want to start with the UNAMSIS Research Labs. This is a team of security researchers that I'm very proud of. This team is periodically analyzing and understanding, on one hand, the threat landscape of threat actors targeting SAP technology and SAP applications, and on the other side is the actual technology around SAP applications and identifying potential improvements, specific vulnerabilities in different components. And we work hand by hand with SAP. We report those vulnerabilities through our responsible disclosure methodology. And when there is a patch, then we publish sometime after that, we publish advisories about the different patches and vulnerabilities and what are the potentially affected technologies versions and work from that. Because of the work we do, this team has been involved in presenting at security conferences, working with computer emergency response teams like CISA, like BSI, and other computer emergency response teams from different countries, providing threat intelligence and information to raise awareness around organizations that need to react in some way, shape, or form to different events, be it a new critical vulnerability or a vulnerability being actively exploited by a threat actor or a specific campaign of massive exploitation of different vulnerabilities. So we have reported hundreds of different vulnerabilities to SAP. We have reported over 1,000 to both SAP and Oracle. So this team is very knowledgeable and very experienced around the technologies that support ERP applications. And that's what led this team to the continuous discovery of different issues that ultimately are reported to SAP and Oracle and ERP vendors to close those security vulnerabilities and improve the security of these applications. So that's something I'm very proud of, because ultimately through the periodic release of security notes and security patches, both UNAMSIS and SAP work together to secure, improve the security of these applications, right? And that's not just for our joint customers, that's for all SAP customers. And that's something that really makes me very proud, because we share a mission of running more and more secure applications. And in terms of numbers, if we wanna quantify this a little bit, well, we can quantify from the side of security vulnerabilities reported to SAP and patched by SAP. On the left side of the screen, you can see the graph highlighting the critical and high vulnerabilities from 2017 to 25 released by SAP. So those are all the ones that are released by SAP, that have been released by SAP over time. And on the right side is the UNAMSIS contribution, right? So we're talking about 25% of SAP's most critical vulnerabilities. We're talking about hot news, critical and highs, right? So the UNAMSIS Research Labs was directly involved in the discovery of these issues. But overall, over 280 total vulnerabilities leading to more than 210 SAP security nodes since 2020. And I believe this is from 2020 to 24. I think it's not inclusive of 25. But in 25, that's another thing that I'm very proud of, is the Onassis Research Labs was directly involved in the discovery of more than 50% of these patches that led to critical and high security nodes. So if we think about the contribution, right, that's a significant contribution to the security of this technology and these applications directly through responsible disclosure, through security research, through joint collaboration between SAP and Onassis on this endeavor. So again, we can talk about numbers, but what I want to emphasize is this objective that we both share, that is securing SAP applications, and we do that in many different ways, right? And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Vic for introduction of the security response team and his side of this.
Thanks, JP. So on my side, I also want to say a few words about our responsible disclosure program. SAP does welcome external submissions of any known security vulnerabilities. We work hand in hand with different stakeholders to resolve these security vulnerabilities and release to customers. For example, we do have an internal bug bounty program, which actually welcomes security researchers to join, as well as for some of the security research companies like Onassis. We also work very closely with them in terms of submissions, classifying security vulnerabilities being submitted. And in this particular case that we are going to see, we also work through some of the deeper dives into a particular scenario. Between SAP and Onassis, the responsible disclosure relationship is rather unique, and I think it's also worth highlighting in a particular slide deck. Like JP have said, we also recognize that Onassis have very deep technical expertise across different ERP systems, including SAP. And we have also been observing over the years a very persistent effort in working alongside with SAP on different security vulnerabilities, scenarios, some of the theories in how to secure the SAP applications. We also want to recognize the effort and also from our side to say thank you to helping securing SAP applications. Back to you, JP. Do you have anything else to add in terms of our collaborative response model?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Vic. Thanks for your kind words. And I think on this slide, what we can visualize is really the two different sides of the coin, right? How these two sides work together with the ultimate objective of securing SAP applications. On one side, SAP releasing the patches with rapid development, testing, emergency security notes release, all of those processes that you know very well, Vic. On our side, we capture threat intelligence. We maintain and develop a threat intelligence network with the objective of being able to understand what threat actors do around SAP applications when they attack these systems, attack reconstruction and forensics. We do that with our network of threat intelligence, but also when customers have incidents that need help, right? Incident responses, identify the root causes of vulnerabilities, generate IOCs and TTPs, and share IOCs with the community, like we did together with Mandiant in the CV 2025-31324, which we released two tools to help organizations being able to identify IOCs of potentially malicious activity through open source tools, right? So together working with the same objective with different capacities, but all amounting to more security and better collaboration. So thank you as well. And let's talk about this specific CVE 2025-31324. This was a vulnerability that popped up last year, and the vulnerability specifically is actually when it was actively exploited. It was a combination of two vulnerabilities that we'll get into the details. But the core of this, the issue that led to exploitation of this was a deserialization, right? And when we talk about deserialization, it's important to understand what it is, because this is a vulnerability that is not affecting only SAP technology stacks. This is a vulnerability affecting Java stacks, right? Any type of Java application. Actually, the concept of deserialization could affect many other technology stacks, but it's very well known, specifically affecting Java, because there's been research and there's been different vulnerabilities reported on specific Java libraries and Java applications that led to a lot of post-exploitation gadgets and exploits that were used and can be potentially used with deserialization endpoints. So just to summarize this is basically the deserialization vulnerabilities happen when there is no proper validation of an input that is controlled by the user, and that input is used to reconstruct specific Java classes, right? In the case of Java, it's like a specific Java classes and objects that are serialized, are put in a specific packet that can be sent over the network or even saved into a file. When that's reconstructed, if it's not properly validated, that could lead to really serious consequences, like, for example, command execution. How this happens is almost like an art from the attacker's perspective, right? Because the exploitation of this happens through a gadget chain. So the deserialization, when the object is read, that object is typically a combination of multiple classes, multiple objects, that only by itself, just deserializing one object is not a problem, but this chain of objects eventually leads to potentially a negative outcome, like command execution. Ultimately, the last object in that chain is an object that allows to receive a command and execute that on the underlying operating system. So that's a flaw, right? And that's the key of these deserialization vulnerabilities. The key of CVE-2025-31324 was this new gadget. This new gadget that was known by threat actors and was unknown to the public, right? It wasn't publicly known, but there was a group of one or many threat actors that knew how to exploit this, and they were using it. So in terms of deserialization, untrusted input from a specific endpoint that could lead to remote command execution. And in terms of the timeline for this vulnerability, I mentioned this was 25. This started actually, we saw through our threat intelligence network reconnaissance of this specific vulnerability with very specific non-malicious payloads back to January 25. So once this all attack developed and the threat we saw threat actors using this, well, going back in time, we're able to unfold that. January 20 is the soonest we saw that initial reconnaissance, but then active exploitation, once they started using this well-known gadget, was in around March, between March and April. That's when we saw this active exploitation unfolding, leveraging this vulnerability. The first public disclosure of this incident was in April 22nd through a blog post by ReliaQuest that provided information about this. Still wasn't clear if this was a zero day or if this was another vulnerability on this Visual Composer, which was the vulnerable component, because some years ago, there was a specific vulnerability patched by SAP in 2017 affecting the Visual Composer. So because of that, it wasn't really clear. It wasn't clear in the blog post either what type of vulnerability this was. Very close, very soon after this public disclosure by ReliaQuest, we saw the first patch released by SAP, security note 359.4142, basically restricting authentication into the Visual Composer, effectively stopping any exploitation on that, right? So this was the first patch, very effective at preventing active exploitation because that was blocking through authentication, through specific authentication on that endpoint, the ability for anyone to connect to it. So that was effectively preventing any further exploitation of the deserialization vulnerability. Soon after that, we released an open source scanner to the community to be able to identify if organizations had potentially vulnerable systems. That was on April 27. Soon after, on April 29th, CISA added the CV to the catalog of non-exploited vulnerabilities, which is another good data point for organizations to understand that this type of CVE is important to address, right? Some days later, on May 2nd, we released, again, another open source tool in collaboration with Mandiant. This was a more advanced IOC scanner that was basically focused on analyzing the systems, analyzing the files on the operating system, and looking for IOCs, well-known, let's say, threat actors, right? These IOCs were looking for JSP files and logs of the Visual Composer on the Java logs. So by using these IOC scanner, organizations were able to actually do additional forensics on the potentially compromised systems. Some days after that, SAP on the following patch day released another note. This is based on the collaboration with OnAppSys, the note 360.4119, CVE 2025.42999. So these effectively removed the deserialization on that component, which was another step into the right direction from a defense in depth perspective, right? Even though if organizations patched already with the initial patch, they were effectively blocking any potential unauthenticated exploitation, from a defense in depth perspective, this was a good improvement to prevent any potentially authenticated abuse, right? Again, CVE 2025, a few days later, 42999 was added to CISA-KEV because of how tightly correlated it was with the active exploitation. And then we started seeing some additional global alerts like the Canadian Center for Cybersecurity, Belgium CCB, and other computer emergency response teams also released alerts around these vulnerabilities. So it was a very packed timeline with many events. I'm sure SAP, as well as us, we had a lot of activity and really hard work around this to be able to help organizations really address this and also stressing the fact from day one, from the very first patch, from the day that the very first patch was released, highlighting to organizations, hey, this is important, you need to address this, you need to patch, because there's active exploitation around this, right? So that, and that's what made this this whole incident in 25 different from other cases. In other cases, we have seen vulnerabilities being exploited by threat actors, but after the patches were available, right? So in this case, this the active exploitation started before the patch was available, because this was effectively a vulnerability that was known by these threat actors and no one else. And that's why it's so important, responsible disclosure, so important security research, security collaboration to be able to effectively close these potential gaps. And I wanted to touch base on the also very related to the close collaboration we had with SAP. Because what happened soon after CVE-2025-31324 became actually noted and widely exploited, we realized, hey, and this was actually our conversations with the research team. We realized there's someone out there that knows this gadget, that has this understanding of how to exploit, combine very specific classes, including some classes of specific SAP libraries, to ultimately achieve command execution through a deserialization endpoint. So our rationale behind this was, we have an almost like an obligation to go and analyze all of these potential endpoints that could lead to the deserialization attacks. And we work very close to SAP. We reported all of the different endpoints that we found, which led to different CVEs, right? Close collaboration, patches in May, patches in July, patches in September, but leading to ultimately a broader solution coming from SAP, which was blocking specific classes at a global filter at the JVM level, right? So now, if there is another endpoint that comes into play, right? There's another deserialization potential endpoint. Well, this gadget is not possible to be used anymore, right? Because this JVM deserialization filter now includes well-known classes used for standard exploitation gadgets in WISO serial framework and other frameworks, but also this new gadget that was observed in May. So I think this is a good sequence of how threat actors started exploiting something, the close collaboration between Onapsis and SAP effectively came into play to strengthen the security of these applications, ultimately leading to a defense-in-depth approach, whereas now this gadget that is known by threat actors is no longer possible to be used outside. So it's a good story and with a good outcome, ultimately, which we're going to enforce organizations to make sure that that node is properly applied to effectively block potentially any other deserialization endpoint. Let's go into some of the details of actually how threat actors exploited this vulnerability, right? Well, what happened? Some of these data points actually are not coming from our insights, right? This is coming from publicly available information. There were threat actors actively exploiting this vulnerability, looking for exploited systems. And this led into organizations actually working with different firms like Eclectic IQ, Forescout, Team T5, ReliaQuest, Palo Alto, Rapid7, many different cybersecurity firms were involved into different incidents or exploitation events where they had to go and analyze what happened and saw different type of threat actors leveraging this. And we can see some specific China Nexus related threat actors, some ransomware threat actors were mentioned as well. Being able to put specific names behind these actions is very hard. I'm not going to say we are experts on that because we're not. So we leave that part to the incident responders that are always working on specific incidents affecting different vulnerabilities, different technologies. They have much more experience with putting a name to whoever is behind those type of incidents. Just wanted to highlight some of the publicly available information here, some of the targets that were mentioned in the media, and some of the specific victims that were mentioned in those publicly available sources, right? So this wasn't just the SAP security community talking about it or mentioning it. This was really the broader cybersecurity community involved into many different capacities and aspects. What I wanted to cover as well is the exploit, because we were able to capture specific intelligence back in that we shared earlier in the year with SAP, for example, the exploit that was used to achieve common execution on these systems, right? This exploit was not publicly known, and really that was a key for us to be able to understand how these threat actors were exploiting. And we were able to do that because of our threat intelligence network being able to capture this activity, right? But then in August 15 of 25, there was actually a public release of this in a Telegram group, supposedly managed and used by Scattered Lapsus hunters, Shiny hunters. This was a combination of different threat actors. And that's when we were able to actually see the other side, right? They released the code that generated this exploit. On the other hand, we actually had the payload that was used, and we were able to see that they matched very well, right? So this was actually the same exploit that was used back between March and April. We were able to see that this exploit had specific the script to generate the exploit had specific parameters to work, make it work on different versions of NetWeaver, which made us think that, hey, these threat actors do have specific knowledge on the SAP technology in a way that they can craft a very specific gadget using SAP classes, but also making it work across different versions of SAP applications. So that talks about a specific sophistication around the knowledge that they have on SAP technology. So we observed when we did incident responses and worked with the incident response firms, helping different SAP customers, were able to see the type of actions that were executed when using this exploit, like extracting specific SAP configuration files, SAP key stores, and different type of very specific post-exploitation activities. But this was all enabled by this specific exploit. So it became more widely known in August of last year. And after that, we started seeing an uptake of exploitation attempts, as you would expect following the release of an exploit, hopefully with organizations and SAP systems being patched and more secure back then. Just some additional details on what we observed back in March, April, but also what we could correlate with the exploit that was released in August. The version, as I mentioned, some specific, let's say, obfuscation techniques. They used, apparently, some of the classes from WISO Serial, which is a well-known framework to basically craft and use serialization exploits. But they modify some of these classes to make it look like custom, so very typical to prevent specifically being detected by signatures or other IT security products, right? Like generic signatures for those specific texts. So just some highlights on the exploit. But let's continue with the strategies behind this, right? What should organizations do in order to prevent this type of incidents from happening? So in the end, it's all about patching. We're gonna talk about the patching process. This process that takes place is actually a living process, right? So you build a patching process in your organization and you react typically monthly, right, on Patch Tuesday, second Tuesday of every month, but it's a living process. You get new patches from SAP and you react to them. And now I wanted to make a clarification. There is the best case, which is what we all recommend, is like, if possible, go and address all of the patches, right? If you have the capacity, the bandwidth, if that's an option for you, make sure that you apply as soon as possible all the patches released by SAP in a timely fashion, right? If that's not an option, at least prioritize the most critical ones, right? So those hot news, those high priority, let's make sure that you timely apply those, because those are, especially the hot news, those are the ones that tend to be exploited afterwards by threat actors. Those are the ones that follow public exploits and that are added to the catalog of known exploited vulnerabilities by CISA, and threat activity follows that. So again, like the recommendation here is, if you have the bandwidth and the process and the capacity to absorb as much as possible, apply and patch as much as possible. But if you need to prioritize, make sure you prioritize from by criticality, right? From the most critical to the least critical. So matching your capacity and your ability to react. There are different sources that you can leverage. SAP security notifications. There's a blog provided by SAP as an analysis to the recently released patches. There's a blog provided by Onapsis as well as an analysis on the recently provided patches. There's different resources you can use, but also you need to be able to maintain this program and this process and know that it's not just second Tuesday of every month. There could be emergency patches as it was CVE-2025-31324. So if that's the case, at least you need to have a process in place. So you need to have, you need to understand who's taking point on that, how you're going to be addressing those, how you're going to be making decisions when you see this type of critical patches. some additional resources I wanted to share with you. Security notes in the SAP for me, formerly known as the SAP Launchpad. There's the security notes, there's the notes and the security notes as well. Of course, in this case, we're focusing on the security notes, which are the ones that have security impact. There may be other notes related as well. So in general, notes are a good resource to keep at hand and use. The SAP Trust Center as well, with guidance and advisories. From the Unapsis side, the Threat Research blog, as I mentioned, we release a blog following the release of security notes every Patch Tuesday, but also we release blogs about different type of threats that we see, security best practices, and many other topics that are useful for organizations to follow. We also release whenever there's a critical issue that needs timely attention. We release IOC scanners and open source tools to work with that. So of course we publish that content in our solution for our customers, but that's not just all we do. When there is when time is of essence, we open source information for all SAP customers to be able to consume. All of the research that we release as white papers, as advisories, as blog posts, as I mentioned before. And then there are other resources from government agencies. I mentioned the KEB catalog from CISA, the catalog of known exploited vulnerabilities. So it's important to stay on top of that because sometimes SAP vulnerabilities are added to that catalog, and then it becomes really, really important to react. Alerts from CISA as well, and there are many other certs as well that are important to follow, depending on the country your organization operates in. If it's in Europe, ENISA, if it's USA, CISA, but there are other country-specific certs as well that we can follow. Right. Wrapping up a little bit on the content. We need to be proactive. What is the difference between CV 2025-31324? Well, there is a before and after, because that was the first time threat actors actively exploited an issue before there was a patch available, because that demonstrated that threat actors also have the capacity to build this type of exploits and identify this type of vulnerabilities. That's why being proactive is important. From the Unapsis side, our way of being proactive is really proactive security research, analyzing those components, working with SAP, closing those gaps, and really enhancing our telemetry to our customers. And when this is an urgent matter, also we open source that knowledge. But yeah, from an SAP customer or an organization perspective, it's really cloud transformations. No longer the case that the organizations keep their systems behind the firewall. Now more and more it's some of our systems are on-premise, some of our systems are in private clouds, some in public clouds, some in platform as a service, all of these interconnected. So it's important to be proactive, to have a process in place to address security on our mission critical systems as SAP applications are. Some additional resources for all of you in our GitHub, LinkedIn, patch day, Tuesday blogs, but blogs in general. There's a threat research available. You can scan the QR code. But we are here to help, and just wanted to stress, to say thanks to Vic for joining me on this session. Thanks for the close collaboration we have and the trusted partnership we have had for several years. And yeah, just to reinforce the fact that we share that mission of securing SAP customers in overall, right? And with that, I think we have some time for questions.
Perfect. Thank you very much to both of you. That was a lot of information, and it generated also a few questions. So I'm just going to read out a few of them. Let's start with the first one. From your perspective, what made CVE 2025-31-24 particularly dangerous compared to other SAP vulnerabilities we have seen so far? JP, I think we can't hear you right now.
Oh, yeah, sorry. My bad.
Yeah,
I muted myself.
Oh, good.
it happens quite often. Okay, I was saying that this is the difference between these CVE and others is that this was the first time that we saw this vulnerability being exploited before a patch was available, and that was because threat actors had this knowledge before anyone else, right? And that made a before and after, because that reinforces the fact that if threat actors have the resources and have the capacity and the means to do this, they can do it. So we as the security community and SAP customers as customers, we all need to be aware that we need to be proactive, right? So we need to address cybersecurity, and we need to make sure that our systems are properly taken care of, right? So that's for me, the biggest difference is that is really these threat actors proved they have the capacity and the knowledge, which is actually something that we have many conversations with many prospects and customers in the past, and in the past, I mean, like for the past 15 years, whereas, hey, like, but attackers or threat actors don't know about this technology, right? They don't have the knowledge on how to target this technology. Well, they do, right? So it's important that we stay focused on and proactive to and focus on securing our mission critical applications.
And JP, I think I will also agree with you. I think from a vendor side, our perspective, of course, is ERP vulnerability management is not an easy task in it by any means. In this particular case, the CVE is rated as CVSS 10.0. So one of the core message, of course, we say, you know, affected customers should have applied the patch by now. But, you know, and like JP, like you said, you know, if the patch is still not applied on the customer side, the threat will still continue.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good point, Vic. And that may be a key takeaway as well. If there is a CVSS 10, that's as critical as it could be. So our responsibility as customers is to react to that, right? So make sure that we follow the process, we timely react to it, and follow recommendations and apply those patches, because we know that those type of CVSS can be weaponized very quickly.
Thank you. Then let's get to the next one. How did Anapsis discover threat actors had working gadgets chain?
We did that because of the threat intelligence network that we have, right? So we capture real attacks to SAP applications with the purpose of understanding what threat actors do when they target SAP applications, right? So because of our, as well, proactive approach towards understanding threat actors' activity, we really had a very good piece of threat intelligence in this case that was crucial to understand what was going on there. So I think and we maintain and operate that threat intelligence network periodically with that specific purpose of understanding what threat actors do.
Okay, and then Vic, it looks like the next one might be for you. How did the collaboration between SAP product security response team and Onapsis actually work in practice during those initial critical days?
I will take a crack at it, and then JP can add on to other details he may remember. I remember during the early days, we do appreciate Onapsis a lot, especially in them proactively reaching out to us. On our side, of course, we are aware of the information and also the threat intelligence that we are receiving. Hey, something seems to be wrong, and like JP have mentioned in the early days, it seems to be like, oh, something is Visual Composer, and then, okay, there seems to be a patch, and then there was just a lot of information not really provided in any consolidated manner. So in the early days, Onapsis reached out to us proactively because of our existing responsible disclosure relationship. And we were able to work together to kind of analyze, okay, you know, what kind of observations are we having? And in addition to that, Onapsis, like they also mentioned, they have other IOCs that they are monitoring. They are also sharing rather transparently with us on what is going on. That definitely has helped SAP to develop a corresponding patch to protect our customer base. And for that, SAP does appreciate Onapsis' assistance in that regard.
Yeah, and I can take a crack at it. Those early days were definitely very busy days where I recall long nights of teams working to understand, hey, what's going on? What can we do? And really in collaboration with SAP as well, really trying to put things together in a way that was most helpful. We did that with releasing the open source scanner as well, and then the IOC scanner. But the ability to be able to see what was happening, I think was very important. And we share, of course. And to me, the other important part was really realizing, hey, like this is something that could be potentially used in other serialization endpoints, and that's why we had work planned, and we had a lot of projects and everything. We literally dumped everything, and we started looking into those areas and started reporting SAP and working with SAP on these other additional potential vectors, so eventually leading to this JVM ultimate fix, right? So yeah, that was definitely a close collaboration and a good outcome from my side.
Actually, you just said JVM. Maybe one question that came in as well, picking up this one: can you explain the thinking behind JVM white hardening?
Good. I will defer then to Vic if you want to comment. But the rationale behind that is basically preventing any so to exploit a deserialization vulnerability, you need two things. One is the deserialization endpoint, like some way where an application receives user input that is deserialized. And the other one is that malicious gadget chain that is very, very hard to build, very, very difficult. So we knew that threat actors had this this gadget chain, but then we knew that this potentially could be used in other endpoints. So that's why we started looking into other endpoints. But then how do you patch that once and for all, not depending on analyzing all of the endpoints? That's basically with a global filter that no matter which endpoint enters, which endpoint is being used to deserialize malicious, potentially malicious input, then that gets filtered independently, right? So that's with a filter at the JVM at a very underlying core, let's say, primitive, which that's the right way to address this, right? Because you address this once and for all independently of how it's being serialized in which endpoint. So I think that was a very good move in the right direction from a security in depth perspective.
I think from SAP side, I think to reiterate again, we also appreciate Onapsis' persistence on the topic, because oftentimes, like I also mentioned earlier, Onapsis sometimes will, well, actually not sometimes, but more than once, they will come up with questions and also theory of attack. And in this particular case, I think that illustrates a good example of what happened. Because beyond just fixing the immediate threat and also looking at the IOCs, I think Onapsis comes back and start asking questions. We also have internal security controls and validation steps who also discover something similar, which kind of yield to digging deeper into the issue. And on that, I think we also appreciate Onapsis in asking questions, which actually leading to what we can call like a once and for all approach to the security problem, rather than just being transactional and focusing on one particular vulnerability on one piece. So yeah, I think that is what I would say for the JVM wide hardening.
Great, thank you. I would say let's get to the last question to finish on time. How should SAP customers be thinking differently about their vulnerability management and monitoring strategy after this zero day?
I'll take it first.
Go ahead, JP.
Yeah, I'll take it first because my message is quite simple. SAP strongly recommends our customers to patch immediately or as possible. I think one of the good slides that was shown is, you know, the best security was yesterday, and the next best is today, right? With the changing threat landscape, the expectation is there will always be patchings coming out. And I think JP also go through his observations in terms of trying to create a vulnerability management protocol for their customers. And I think we also would support that. But above all, the message is, of course, is patch as soon as you can. Over to you, JP.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think, to me, it summarizes as being purposeful. It's like, we cannot just try to check the box when it comes to security. We need to be purposeful. We need to be proactive. We need to make sure that we are addressing security properly, right? And that means apply the patches timely. That means monitor your systems. That means addressing many different areas of security. One of those really, really important being patch management. But to me, it's all about being purposeful about security, especially in this world where we are transitioning to RISE, where we are really embracing new technologies and extending our cloud applications, integrating with our on-premise systems. We need to be considering security. If we didn't consider it yesterday, we need to consider it today, as Vic said. But that's important, right? Patch your systems and address security. Be proactive around security.
Great. I would say that brings us to time. For any other questions in the chat, we will be reaching out to you individually to get those answered as well. Also, just a brief reminder to everyone listening that the session has been recorded and the link to the recording will be emailed to you. With that, thanks again to Vic and JP and everyone joining the session today. Have a great day. Bye.